Lamine Yamal steps into McDonald's, looks left, sees Pulisic, looks right, sees Jimenez. Gives a nod to Ronaldinho in the corner with a FIFA World Cup meal. Ronaldinho sees Son in the booth. Son finds Beckham going for extra Big Mac sauce. He's got Davies at the table just behind him. Davies going for his collectible cup. But oh! A steal by Henri, who pulls his own collectible cup. Collect one of nine legendary cups with a FIFA World Cup meal.
At participating McDonald's for a limited time. While supplies last, all rights reserved. 2026 McDonald's at FIFA World Cup 2026.
Study.
And play. Come together on a Windows 11 PC.
And for a limited time, college students get
the best of both worlds.
Get the Unreal College Deal. Everything you need to study and play with select Windows 11 PCs. Eligible students get a year of Microsoft 365 Premium and a year of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate with a custom color Xbox wireless controller. Learn more at windows.com/student offer. While supplies last, ends June 30th. Terms at aka.ms/college PC.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And they're right back in this series.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Fox, the biggest shot of the series.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NBA insider Ryan Windhorst, 49ers tight end George Kittle. Coming up, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis, actor and comedian Eric Andre. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
10 years, right? You want to look up that date?
Sure. I think
because the last time he was here, a segment that he did on this program, a video, was our number one viewed YouTube page until about a year and a half ago. It's crazy. He's a very talented, funny guy, and his Instagram I can't even read on the air because it's not safe for work. Just check him out. Hour number one, Brian Windhorst. Hour number two, George Kittle. Check it out on our podcasts, as well as our Disney Plus page when you are done. The Brendan Sorsby story is red hot, and there's a lot of very angry individuals in college sports, and to talk about it is basically my conscience on this subject matter. The counselor and analyst, Jay Billis, back on the program. How you doing, Jay? Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. What do you think of the Brendan Sorsby ruling that came out of Lubbock, Texas?
You know, it was a 3-page order from the judge in Texas, and it was immediately appealed by the NCAA, and I think it'll get overturned on appeal. It was, in my judgment, a pretty odd ruling. It was basically a temporary injunction, a preliminary injunction, and you can appeal those, and the NCAA is doing that. So it'll go to a 3-judge panel, I believe, in Amarillo, Texas. And I just can't imagine that standing up. In order to get, I'm sure you've covered this, but in order to get a preliminary injunction, you have to show irreparable harm, which, you know, I think Sorsby could make a good argument for. But you also have to show a likelihood of success on the merits at trial. And I don't think there's any likelihood that he would win a trial. And I get the argument that Jeffrey Kessler and his co-counsel made about, Sorsby having a gambling sickness and it's a mental health issue and all that stuff. But to me, that's not that wouldn't win the day if I were deciding the case. So, you know, I'm pretty confident it'll get overturned. And I understand that people are upset about it. I think some of the things that have been said have been a little over the top. I mean, let's give the appeals process a little bit of time. It's not like the season starts tomorrow. There's time for this to be remedied. And it doesn't mean that the NCAA needs an antitrust exemption from Congress. That's not going to be factored. It shouldn't be factored in. Not a big deal. It's just one player. And I don't think it opens the floodgate for every college athlete to turn into Pete Rose. You know, I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Why? I mean, listen, I understand why Charlie Baker would use anything to keep sharpened teeth in his organization. And I can understand why he would use anything to try and get an antitrust exemption. Like that I understand. But I also understand people saying, you know, mental health is a serious subject matter. And it's not the NCAA turning a blind eye to mental health. It's the NCAA handing in a rightful consequence to an action that deserves it, Jay. So why wouldn't this be something to open the door to anybody saying, hey, my client, my student athlete had a mental illness, so you can't suspend him or her. She or he can't have a consequence, Jay.
Well, you can make the argument. It doesn't mean the argument's going to be a winning one. So this is one judge in Texas that put out a 3-page order that I don't think is going to hold up. That's sort of the point. Like, I agree with you. I think the NCAA should win on this one. And I think they're right in this case. But, you know, immediately, you know, the system goes to, that's it. The world is on fire. You know, everything's screwed up. Instead of just calmly saying, all right, we need to appeal this and we'll win on appeal. Look, the NCAA has put itself in this position, not on this particular rule, but with all their other dumb rules that put themselves in this position. So they don't have a lot of credibility in a lot of different instances. And, you know, to me, you know, Congress should be looking at other things to do rather than give the NCAA an antitrust exemption. And an antitrust exemption is really kind of the nuclear option here. And to me, it's the equivalent of a bank robber saying, hey, look, every time I break into this bank, I get arrested and charged. Like, you need to do something. And then Congress says, all right, you now have an exemption. So we'll give you the keys to the bank. Therefore, you don't have to break in anymore. That's what the NCAA is kind of asking for here. And I'm using an extreme example to make the point. If I'm Congress, what I do is I create a federal pathway for collective bargaining for college athletes and the NCAA or the conferences. That's something they could do where the players have a choice in how business is done. Or the Congress could say college athletes are now exempt from the National Labor Relations Act and the Fair Labor Standards Act, and they can sign multi-year contracts with their institutions, and their institutions can pay them directly, but they don't have to be employees. They can do it as independent contractors. Those are solutions that recognize that these players have tremendous value. What the NCAA is really saying is keep allowing us to pay ourselves millions of dollars and use the overall value of the enterprise to value ourselves, but give us a law that says we can do it the way we used to and value the players at near zero. And that's not going to work. It's just wrong on so many levels. Like, the players have proven what they're worth now, and you see what these schools are willing to pay. But going back to the Sorsby thing, one thing I haven't heard, and maybe they're saying it and I just haven't heard it, but while you have a bunch of commissioners and administrators railing on, you know, the courts and asking Congress, this is another reason Congress needs to give us what we want. How come nobody's asking, what is the president of Texas Tech doing? While all these presidents are shaking their finger at us all the time, talking about values, integrity and integrity, why isn't that president showing any? Like, just because the NCAA lost a court case doesn't mean that Texas Tech has to let this guy play. And I don't see the point here. And this is wrong on a number of levels. But if you take a step back from it, let's let the appeal go through. We had the same issue with Charles Bediako over a G League player, you know, playing in college last year at Alabama. And way too many people lost their minds over it, over one court ruling that got appealed and overturned and the whole thing was over. And on the day that Charles Bediako played his first game back at Alabama after playing in the G League, I think he scored 11 points. Three freshmen scored over 40 that day in a game. And all we were talking about was Charles Bediako. I mean, it made no sense.
Well, it's interesting and I think appropriate that you cast a spotlight on leadership on college campuses for this, Jay. And it seems like leadership in certain athletic departments around the country are taking matters into their own hands. Our colleague Pete Fammel reporting that Big Ten schools are talking about not scheduling Texas Tech in any sport, and that other schools are going to take matters into their own hands with the power that they do have on the scheduling front.
They can do that. That's fine. Go ahead. I think that's an overreaction too. Look, Texas Tech's cross country team didn't do anything. Yes. You know, that seems to be an overreaction to me, but if they want to do that, look, it's one player. And again, I don't think this is going to be a major issue that we're going to see over and over again. It's uncomfortable. I think the judge in this case was incorrect in the ruling. I think it's going to be remedied on appeal. And once it is, then if it is, I don't think we're going to have to worry about this again. But, you know, the NBA and NFL don't have to worry about things like this because all of their rules are collectively bargained with the players. So they don't have to deal with this. And that's what the NCAA needs to do, is they need collective bargaining with the players. We are not going back to a system where the players get a scholarship only and then get to do a commercial here and there for their NIL. That's not going to happen. So the idea that somehow we're going to go back to the golden days of yesteryear where the NCAA, you know, was allowed by the courts to violate federal antitrust law whenever they wanted, I don't think that's going to happen. But look, they're going to keep making more and more money. Like, the money isn't going down. It's going up. And you know, they haven't put any rules in to stop coaches from moving around. Like, the coaches portal is always open. Nobody's complaining about that. You don't see anybody up in arms about that. I just want to see some of these presidents start showing some of the integrity that they preach about so much.
So then who's the entity that's going to bring that collectively bargained concept to reality, Jay? Because, again, I don't want to go political here, but Charlie Baker's the one who's bringing Congress up. Do you think this Congress is really going to put the hammer in the hands of labor, in the hands of the players? Do you think this Congress is really going to get together and put something together, period? So who's going to go ahead and make that happen ever?
Congress could do that.
I know they could, but that's what I'm saying.
But you know, like, why would you put a hammer in the hands of the NCAA? Because
because they have the lobbying money. Who's lobbying on behalf of the kids? Who's
doing exactly. But you don't need. I think as a fair-minded legislator, looking at this and saying, wait a minute, this is horribly unfair to a large class of Americans, and how do you? In what other industry do they give these type of restrictions where they can be unilaterally imposed by the one holding all the money? There isn't one. And, you know, this is a case of first impression. I realize, look, the NCAA has been lobbying Congress for a long, long time now. They've spent millions upon millions of dollars doing this. I'm not discounting the possibility that they could get what they want. It's possible. I don't think it's likely or probable that they're going to get what they want, but it's possible. And I think it's been a waste, that they should be looking for a solution where the players are part of this, because the players are driving the engine. And you can tell by how much the players are being pursued by these institutions and how much they're being paid that they have tremendous value. You know, these schools know how you win. You win with the best players. You certainly want outstanding coaches, but you win with the best players. And they're willing to pay to get them. They've proven that after all these years of telling us that the players weren't worth anything when they were valued at zero. They were worth way more than that. And we've seen that now that some of these restrictions have been taken off. But if you want a system, like people say, well, the NBA has a salary cap, the NFL has a salary cap. Yes, they do. But it's agreed upon by the players. And we can do that in college sports. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's not that difficult. It can be done. And, you know, similarly to what the NCAA said for years, the college sports community said, nope, can't have a playoff in college football. Can't do it. Impossible. Can't have one. And now we're talking about, is it 16 or 24? You know, remember, it wasn't that long ago where, nope, can't do it. Can't have one. Impossible. And somebody held out $1 billion or more. And it's funny how they made it possible, even though they had a playoff in Division II and Division III.
Oh, man. Before I let you go, let's take a, you want to take a swing in the NBA Finals? Did we see a momentum swing on Monday night?
Well, you certainly saw a really good game on the part of Victor Wembanyama. He put so much more pressure on the rim in game three. You know, setting screens and then getting out and getting to the rim where they could lob it up to him and all that. But I think you'll see New York in game four be a little more resolute to get Karl Anthony Towns more involved. Like, he's had a great playoffs. He's a great player. But I think he needs to continue to attack Wembanyama and make it a little more difficult on him. But I don't think the Knicks played all that great, and San Antonio had a lot to do with that. And still down the stretch is a 1-2 possession game. So if you're asking me who I would I rather be, I'd still rather be the Knicks right now.
Yeah. I mean, how good is Stephon Castle, right? I mean, you saw him. So you've seen so many of these kids on the Spurs. Dylan Harper, too. Just seeing those two guys, Castle in particular. Was he when you're seeing him on UConn, you're like, that's going to be a terrific pro right out the gate.
Oh, yeah.
You did.
Oh, yeah.
You saw that.
And the area where he's improved most, I mean, he was always a killer on the defensive end.
Right.
And would do anything he was asked to do to win. I mean, he was injured at the start of his freshman year, and UConn was a different team when he came back and into the lineup. But he couldn't shoot it. He wasn't a shooter. And he's really improved his perimeter shooting, where now he's a threat. And that was an issue for him last year. But, I mean, you know, this year you're looking at a future all-NBA defensive player and potentially an all-NBA player. I mean, he's a great player. And, you know, when he came out and was, you know, valued at, you know, people were saying, oh, he might be the fourth pick or the fifth pick or whatever. You're going, there's an argument to be made. He should be one.
Hmm.
He's amazing. What an athlete. I mean, just a stud athlete.
What about Brunson when you first laid eyes on him in Villanova, Jay?
Well, I loved him, but if you were to ask me, when even as a two-time national champion, when he was drafted, if I saw that he, you know, if I saw into the future, he's going to be an all-NBA player and going to be a multi-time all-star and the face of a franchise, I would have said, no, I doubt that. I think Jay Wright probably would have said, you know, that seems to be a stretch. One of the things that kind of amazes me about Jalen Brunson is, you know, his footwork. Like when he was at Villanova, I think Jay Wright called him back downs, where, you know, he would kind of post guys up and he played off 2 feet. All of them did. And his footwork is magnificent. And for him to have carried that to the NBA, where he can bully guys and back them in and then use his footwork to get around them, he's masterful. And it just shows you that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how big you are. If you're good enough, you're big enough. And he's good enough. What a stud.
No doubt. Jay, you're the man. Thanks for the time. Hit him straight, as you just did over the last 20 minutes. Enjoy it.
Always a pleasure.
Right back at you. Seriously, you're the best. Thanks for the time and the perspective.
See you, brother.
All right, man. That's the one and only Jay Billis.
Jay Billis.
Awesome. Just awesome. So much food for thought. A SoFi personal loan is here to help you achieve something once thought impossible, and that's overcoming high-interest credit card debt. Walk the tightrope of your finances with one low fixed-rate monthly payment, no fees required, and as soon as the same-day funding. That's right. Pull off your own debt-defying stunt with a SoFi personal loan. Visit SoFi.com/trick to learn more. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891. Call a 180 U-turn. What do we call having such a conversation about collectively bargained rights for college athletes? to Eric F. and Andre. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Rich Eisen here. Take a second and look at your city's calendar. Everywhere I go, there's always something coming up. Games, concerts, conventions, tournaments, the kind of events that bring people in from all over. And when that happens, you can feel it. More energy, more fans, and a whole lot more people looking for a place to stay. So here's something to think about. If your city has that kind of buzz, if big events are on the way, listing your space on Airbnb could be a great opportunity. If you're already planning to be out of town or you've got a trip coming up, why not make your place work for you while you're gone? You've got the space and you're not using it. It could be earning you some extra cash. I know when I travel for these big events, I'm not just looking for a place to crash. I want something comfortable and safe, a place that allows me to experience the city like a local. And that's exactly what you can do by offering to list your space. No big lifestyle change, no long-term commitment, just making smart use of the space you already have. So the next time your city draws a crowd, think about listing your space on Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. While the world watches the stars at the FIFA World Cup, Hyundai has its eyes on the next generation of talent, future stars who are already turning heads at age 14, because Next doesn't wait for an invitation, and neither do we. Hyundai has always moved the future within reach. We did it when we made advanced safety standard on every vehicle and engineered EVs with ultra-fast charging capability, and we're still doing it every day, because the future isn't some far-off concept. It's already here. Next starts now. Hyundai, an official partner of FIFA. Save money on your next oil change with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for just $35.95. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts. Our radio audience has returned. You just saw a clip of Little Brother starring John Cena, Michelle Monaghan, Christopher Maloney, and this man, Eric Andre, here on the program. You're doing the hard work of promoting this film, and I saw right. Christopher Maloney courtside last night at Game 3.
What is he promoting the film, or is he just like watching basketball?
That's what I'm asking you. You know,
I got the same questions. He's about to get a very angry call after this interview. He should have been wearing a Little Brother shirt courtside.
Yeah. What the hell?
I thought the refs were making some weird calls last night.
What do you think?
Didn't like what the referees were doing. How many times do we have the stats? How many times did the Spurs go to the line? How many times 32. Did the Knicks go to the line?
32.
Spurs went to the line 32?
32 times.
And how many times did the Knicks go to the line?
I believe it was
8?
22.
22, I think.
But it was 24 in the second half, 8.
Yeah, 24
for 8. The Knicks. 24 to 8 in the second half.
Wait a minute. Okay, I heard this morning it was like the Spurs went to the line 21 times and the Knicks only went to the line 8 times.
Well, it was, again, overall in the game, the Spurs shot 32 free throws, the Knicks shot 22. But in the second half, the Spurs shot 24 and the Knicks shot 8 in the second half.
Yes,
that's the disparity to which
that's suspicious to me.
What do you mean by suspicious, Eric Andre? Let's go there. What do you mean?
In basketball,
yes,
a referee can call a foul every play. Mm-hmm. Every play, mm-hmm. The guys grace each other, touch each other. They're trying to stop each other from scoring.
Yes, sir.
A ref can call a foul whenever they feel like it. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's not in the National Basketball Association's interest to see yet another sweep from this incredible Knicks team. Spurs are incredible too. Knicks haven't won since 1996, since the steam engine was invented. It's the last time the Knicks have won. So unless you're from San Antonio, born and raised,
yes,
you got to root for the Knicks. I'm a Miami Heat fan. I'm rooting for the Knicks.
Are you really?
Yes. I would never expect myself. I've never rooted for the Knicks until now. But you have to root for this team. This team's unbelievable.
What do you like about them?
They don't look like a winning team. They have this Bad News Bears quality, mm-hmm. where they look like a bunch of doughy guys that play dominoes outside of a barbershop, but their athleticism is unbelievable. Their chemistry is unbelievable. Their bench is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's not even like the main team. So, and like I said, they haven't won since the Tesla coil was invented. The Spurs have won many times in my lifetime. Oh. Tim Duncan, Ginobili, I lived through all that.
I know.
But I've never seen the Knicks, you know, when it was Patrick Ewing.
Yes, sir.
And that team, John Starks, they had to deal with Michael Jordan all the time. And then finally they get there, and then they had to deal with the Tim Duncan and, yes, and Robinson.
And then 26 years later, were you looking something up?
Tesla coil invention, 1891.
Wow. Okay, that's the last time the Knicks won the championships. That's how long it's been. I will say, when you go to the games, it's sad. When you go to the games, when you go to MSG,
yes,
and they're like, we have one of the players from the last championship team, the oldest, like Dick Gregory looking guy. They'll have some guy that looks like Sidney Poitier, like a 99-year-old guy stands up like, and it was like, who is that? They're like, he's from the championship team last time they won. You know, and then they show the footage, it's like black and white, like it looks like a Charlie Chaplin movie. It's like silent film. You gotta let this team win. Nobody wants the Spurs to win. I get it. The NBA won 7 games. They don't want 4 games. They make a lot more money with advertising with 7 games. I just feel like the commissioner calls the refs.
Oh.
And he goes, this is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And I won't be stopped. And I may never be invited back to.
Not true. We've been waiting for you, Eric.
But no. To your show, yeah. I might not be invited back to basketball. yeah.
Oh, okay.
No. I'm not talking specifically about any particular team. I'm talking about the National Basketball Association.
So what happens?
I think they call the refs that go, maybe the Knicks are fouling a little bit more tonight. You know what I mean? And the ref goes, you got it, boss. Because the Spurs were at the line a lot. And that flagrant call, Jalen didn't, what did he do?
Well, again.
His feet were under
land. You can't put your foot underneath somebody who's shooting, because it creates the opportunity for your foot to land on another foot. And then you turn an ankle, you could get really hurt. So
that's a flagrant foul.
They call that a flagrant foul.
A flagrant foul is when Ron Artest goes into the stands and punches a fan in the face. That's flagrant.
That's your bar?
That's my bar. That's Bill Laimbeer, Charles Barkley.
Everything's based off of that.
Yes.
Or
elbows.
How about
Wembanyama
shoving Jalen Brunson over in the first quarter?
That's a flagrant. I would say that's a flagrant.
That merits.
I guess those are technicals I'm talking about. But
no,
a flagrant foul is like a big chop, not like gracing somebody's. I don't even know if he touched the feet under the. Who knows that rule? Nobody knows that rule. That's from like the first handbook. That's when like the NBA was like only basketball was like played at the YMCA at the turn of the last century with like a wicker basket, and they had to get a ladder anytime somebody scored because there wasn't any hole in the thing.
Basket. That was the actual basket.
It was an actual basket, like a bread basket, like a picnic basket.
I'm afraid to ask what a Tesla coil is.
Tesla.
A Tesla coil? Oh.
It's a Tesla coil?
You said some Tesla.
I thought that's what you said.
That's when you get a vasectomy.
The Tesla coil.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's if you
I misheard
want
that.
A resonant transformer circuit.
Yeah. Huh.
Everybody.
Low current, high frequency.
No, I don't know. I didn't know.
Did you take
I was trying to. I said, no, I said steam engine. I was pulling, like, I was trying to get another industrial revolution.
Steam engine. Steam engine 1700s.
Everybody knows that. I'm trying to say that the Knicks haven't won in a while.
Okay.
And I was using hyperbole.
And by the way, excellent use of hyperbole.
Thank you very much.
I like it.
I'm going to the World Cup, too.
Are you really?
Ooh. My dad was from Haiti. I'm going to go see Haiti versus Brazil.
Where?
In Philly.
In Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
That's where Haiti and Brazil are playing, huh?
Because,
You know, in Philadelphia. How about that? So you're a big soccer guy, or you're just learning it?
No, I don't know anything about soccer. But I like watching it. I like watching the World Cup. My dad would love watching the World Cup. And it's sad. He was like, he was dying while the last World Cup was on. And
right.
Anytime, like literally on his deathbed, anytime he would like open his eyes and see a black soccer player with a French last name, mm-hmm. he would lean over to me and go, find out if he's Haitian. Find out if he's from Haiti. And I go, okay. That was like his, like, you know, like those were some of his last moments. So I'm like, I'm going to the game. Mm. I'm going to, they want me to announce maybe.
Hold on.
I don't know what I'm allowed to say.
What do you mean announce? Like you're going to be in the booth? Eric Andre is going to be in the booth?
Yes.
Calling a World Cup match?
Maybe. I don't know. Am I allowed to say it? I'm looking at my publicist. I don't know if it's announced yet. Maybe I'm not allowed to say it.
Is this?
But I do want to be the Gary Payton of FIFA announcers. Remember when Gary Payton was like, they had him like announce for a little bit?
Yeah, and it was.
And he was like too ratchet, and they were like, you gotta go. He was like the DMX of and basketball announcers.
So you
I want to be the Gary Payton of soccer.
That's it?
And I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
Well, I don't know if I would take in Haiti versus Brazil, but if you're calling the match,
exactly.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm adding entertainment value. I don't know all the history
of
football,
but
which we call soccer.
June 19th.
That's right.
Haiti, Brazil.
It's a couple of Fridays from now.
Yeah.
It's very soon.
Okay.
It's coming up. Mark it on your calendar.
Okay.
I'm meeting the Haiti team. I'm shaking their hands.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow, this is cool.
They haven't been in the World Cup for 52 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very much like the Knicks of the world.
It's been since the Tesla coil that Haiti's actually been in the World Cup.
Yes.
So how would you,
Nikola Tesla went to Haiti. He went to Madison Square Garden.
Same.
And he's related to Yoko. An invention. And they were like, wow. And they were so inspired.
So announcing style would you have?
You look good, man.
What, me right now?
Yeah.
Did it just hit you?
You aged well.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's the makeup. I don't know.
What are you doing? Peptides and all that stuff? You look good. Bear Grylls or something. Jason Statham.
Oh, yeah, it's me.
Are you mountain climbing? What do you do?
I'm not mountain climbing. I did work out today, though.
You.
Maybe that's why I have that glow about me.
Look, what do you do? Soul cycle? You do the bike?
No. Just lift some weights, move around.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Proud of you.
By the way, so you say you don't know soccer very well, but you're going to be in the booth potentially for a World Cup match.
I'm going to try to learn. You got to learn sometimes.
Okay, so you're not allowed to use your hands unless you're the goalie. You know that.
That I know.
Okay.
They freak if you use your hands.
You do know that if anybody comes close to hitting you, you fall down.
And you cry.
And you cry.
Yes.
Right? And you act like you've just lost a limb.
Yes. You're like, they're like opera actors. And
sprays something on you.
Somebody sprays something.
Oh, yeah. Right? Isn't that what it is?
Well, like bear mace or what?
I don't know. What's in the can that they come out and they spray on you?
Great question.
It like numbs you a little bit.
Yeah, it
like,
numbs
oh,
you.
Oh, it's like a ketamine spray or something? Soccer's cool.
Please say that. What's in that can? Out comes the ketamine guy. Oh, my
Soccer's
gosh.
Soccer's pretty chill, dude.
He sees colors now. And then you wait for the stretcher to take you off.
You go that far?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's a full
thing. And then you come back and you run like a deer. What else do we need to teach you about soccer?
It seems to be it. I never understood offsides.
Okay.
Is that if you're like kind of like not goaltending, but you're like lingering by the goal?
If you are behind the last line of defense at the time whoever's passing you the ball touches it, you're offsides.
If you're between the defenders and the goalie,
correct,
just hanging by the goal.
You're not allowed to do that.
Oh, so it's just a way to prevent people from just like hanging out
that is correct.
By the goal.
Right.
You have to be where?
You could be behind the defense after whoever's passing you the ball has kicked it. So
Right. You could anticipate, but you have to be in front of the defense.
You must be.
Until that.
That is correct.
No, you can't that's hang out between the defense and the goal.
Right, and that's why the guy on the side raises the flag, calls you offsides.
There's no timeouts, right?
Oh no.
Well, the clock doesn't stop.
Right? Oh, it just keeps going.
But they do add injury time.
Yeah, and that's it's totally arbitrary.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Let's play six more minutes. Yeah. We'll play six.
Is it arbitrary? I don't understand that at the end when they put a little time up.
Yeah, because you're supposed to, as a referee, run time while somebody's down faking an injury. and or legitimately injured, and then you're supposed to, you know, accrue that time, and then once the 45 minutes for the half is up, you then say we're playing this much more time.
But it's like ish. They're not
there's a lot of ish, man. That's full of ish. Full of ish.
Okay.
So you got that. Then you know there's penalty kicks if it's tied after a certain.
I don't like time. That either.
Why?
I think it should go into a set because that doesn't really tell me who the best team is. That just tells me who the best team at penalty kicks is. I don't like that. I think it should just be sudden death. You go into OT and it's sudden death.
You keep going.
And you keep going until you're like collapsing. Yeah, penalty kicks. That's like a trick. That's like letting the Harlem Globetrotters play the Spurs. Like you're doing trick shots and like that. That's not telling me who the superior team is.
See, you've got takes, man.
I got takes and I'm angry. I'm pissed off.
I'm looking up Hades.
At the Spurs.
Hades roster.
Come on. Wemby has his whole life ahead of him. He's got plenty of time to get a ring. We got to see the Knicks win. Frustrated about last night.
You ever seen him in person, Wemby?
I walked by him at the All-Star game last year.
And what was your impression?
I couldn't even form words to try to say hi. I was like, well, first of all, I've been to like Cirque du Soleil and Cirque du Soleil. You know, I thought it was like a stilt walker. I was like, hey, the All-Star game. There's Guy Fieri. There's this. And then I was like, oh no, that's like a human being. That's like one human being. That's not like when the little rascals, they all like get on top of each other in the trench coat. I was like, that's a human being. And then I was like, oh, that's that French guy. But by then, I was like, my eyes were rolling in the back of the head because yes. I couldn't even process what was going on.
It's very
and then he was whisked away. I didn't get to talk to him. But I did sneak backstage without a press credential, and I interviewed a bunch of the players and said a bunch of asked a bunch of inappropriate questions.
Really?
To like Kyrie and all these guys. For some reason, they were like, security was real lax, and I just saw like all the press people go one way. And I was with my date. I was like, let's go. And we like snuck back.
Is this anywhere to be found? Did you post it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have like, I don't remember. All I remember is I was like, they were like, hey, well, you know, how do you play? They're asking them like all this technical basketball stuff. Yeah. I was like, Kyrie, you think they should free Luigi? And he's like, Eric Andre, come on, man. Don't ask me a question like that, man. Come on, why is Eric Andre? He's like, why are you here? Like. Yeah. He goes, I don't want to. Oh man, I don't want. Oh come on, man.
Jaylen Brown. You asked Jaylen Brown the same thing, right?
I don't remember. It was like on a whim. I didn't have anything planned. I didn't think I was going to get back there, and security just didn't care. That's like never happened. Security, my whole life. Sees me even before I was on television. I just have like a don't let this guy enter face, you know what I mean? To anything, to a Quiznos, they won't let me in. You know what I mean? I have to prove I belong everywhere. I have to, you know what I mean? So I was like, wow, this is amazing. So I didn't have like always the best. I wish I had some things pre-written, but I interviewed a few people. It was. Damn. Who was it? Kyrie,
Jaylen Brown,
Jaylen, and Anthony Mason. I want to say.
I think he's long since passed.
No. If you interviewed Anthony Mason, that's that would be a story. Right
now, that would be a story.
That's a different TV show you get on for that.
It probably wasn't Anthony Mason. Now that I think
you'd
about
be on
it,
one
longer
of those medium TV shows.
I'm gonna go.
You just teleported to the times where Van Gundy was hanging on Alonzo Mourning's ankle. You just teleported to those days, Eric. Those are the heat days. You just teleported back to right there.
I want to get those like. Things that he like wrote his haircut.
You asked Jaylen Brown if he could give out his email address so people could ask him questions.
Oh yeah. I was like, you know, if anybody has any like ideas for your game or like, you know, they want to coach you or anything, maybe just give me your email address. We put it up on the screen. Yeah. People can reach out to you directly. So they can, you know, ask you questions, comment.
And it's like, how the hell did you get back here?
Yeah.
Because you were
and they, you know, they did the where's my publicist kind of look, you know, like this kind of.
Little brother.
You know that look is? That's the look that Lupita Nyong'o, remember when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars? Mm-hmm. The best part of that footage is Lupita Nyong'o looking for the exit behind all of them. She's just
so confused.
She's like.
She's like texting her limo driver. I watched Lupita Nyong'o 20 times in a row when that happened. You have to rewatch that footage and just lock in
on her.
On her. Ignore Will and Chris and just look at Lupita.
She
has the best, like, how do I, and the exit is there, I think. And then my driver's probably 20 minutes away.
Now I gotta look at it again.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh my
God. Trying to interrupt.
Little Brother. No, not at all. Available for streaming on Friday, June 26th, exclusively on Netflix. Funny movie, man.
Yes.
So congrats
Thank
on
you
this.
Very much.
Let's not do this once every 10 years. What do you think?
I can't believe it's been 10 years.
It has been, right? Is that how long it's been?
Yeah. Well, the last time you were physically here, yeah, you were wearing the J.R. Smith tattoo t-shirt.
J.R. Smith. Remember, I was trying to, I was like, whose flesh was I wearing?
Yes, that's right.
J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith tattoo t-shirt.
J.R. Smith, yeah.
Because I think that was right around the time where he blew the finals game. Isn't that what it was?
Or it might have been when the Cavs finally won. It was one of those.
No. He had a bad game. That's not why I wore it, but he had a bad game right before I came on.
Right.
There was
I think
something
it was right before.
You have a good memory.
When the game went into overtime because J.R. Smith dribbled it out rather than just putting the ball back up, and LeBron was going like, what the hell? I think that's what it was. So 2016, so it's been 10 years.
I think if the Knicks lose tomorrow, Latrice Sprewell should jump out of the stands and choke the coach one more time.
Noted.
One time, because I don't think there's footage of the choke, right?
No.
Latrell.
Yeah, it's not.
Latrell. What did I say?
Latrice.
I said Latrice? No, I didn't. I did not say Latrice. Latrell Sprewell's my favorite player of all time. Latrice.
Oh, my God.
Latrell Sprewell. They got to release that footage. If the Knicks win, they got to release the footage of Latrell choking the coach. I think he really messed up his throat, too, because what was the coach's name?
PJ?
Yeah, he was announcing something the other day. He's like, hey, man, you got any water? I was like, damn, he choked the hell out of that guy. I say Latrice. Latrell Sprewell is one of my favorite players of all time.
Everybody check out Little Brother on June 26th. That'll be a week after Eric Andre, we're hoping, makes his soccer World Cup soccer announcing debut. That
yes.
would be fantastic. I do hope that that happens.
Yes, I love soccer. Pele, you got the other guy.
Maradona.
Yeah.
Pele and the other guy.
And the other, you know, the British guy.
David
They're all
Beckham.
Goat.
Huh? David Beckham.
Beckham.
Messi.
Messi. You got Jerry Rice, I think.
Yeah, Jerry Rice. That's right. Jerry Rice.
Right?
Latrell Sprewell.
Latrell Sprewell. Stoudemire.
Oh, yeah. All of them.
Larry Johnson.
Yeah. That was the time Latrell got red carded.
Yeah. Zanadon, what's the guy's name? Zanadon Zadu or something?
No, Zinedine Zidane.
Zinedine Zidane, that's what I said.
I would say your IG on the air, but I can't. Everybody check out Eric Andre there.
How do you still have that? They let you keep that handle.
I'm grandfathered in.
Hey, this guy was asking Jaylen Brown for his email uncredentialed. What are you asking him how he could slip through the cracks? Are you kidding me? He's a ghost. Not even human form. He's just turning to mist and go wherever he wants. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Eric Andre, everybody, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Back in.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The Stanley Cup Final on ABC is more than a quest for the cup. It's 134 years of putting it all on the line and the heaviest 35 pounds ever lifted. It's broken curses and broken hearts. But for those chasing it, it's everything. The only question is, who will take it? You just have to watch the Stanley Cup Final presented by GEICO on ABC and the ESPN app.
When it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors are the experts at taking care of you and your home. At Pella, they find the products that meet your needs and their experts install them. That means working with a company that builds and installs a quality product with real pricing, real simple, really beautiful. And when a trusted name like Pella chooses to partner with us here at the Rich Eisen Show, that says a lot. 0% financing options are available. Certain restrictions apply. Find your local Pella Windows and Doors showroom today at Pella.com/Eisen for details. Make life brighter with Pella Windows and Doors. Those have been hanging on for a while. I apologize. You know, we went from interview to interview to interview. And I just love going from a dense, serious sports legal conversation with Jay Billis like that to a conversation we just had with Eric Andre. It really is just a way for us to, if you will, explore the studio space. Before we go, Brian Schottenheimer spoke, TJ.
Oh,
your guy. You made him cry at the combine.
Him, you know, I mean? Sol Ruka. It's what I do, apparently.
It is. You know? It is.
Barbara Walters.
Hey, coach.
What did my coach have to say?
Where's George Pickens, coach? Where is he?
My conversation with George have been positive, just about life in general. So I expect and hope he'll be here. I mean, hope and expect, same thing. I mean, I can't make anybody do something that they want to do. But yeah. No, he's not committed that to me. But I expect he'll be here.
All right.
Okay.
He signed his tenure.
He did.
So that means he's under contract. If he didn't, he doesn't have to be at mandatory events. You keep thinking he's going to get traded, and I'm going to go on the other way. I don't think so.
I don't either.
He's going to make a serious amount of money in this first franchise tagged year. And I know he wants more money down the line, and June 15th, that's around the corner. That's the deadline by which you've got to be signed as a
27.3 million this year on the franchise.
So, but you want to make the bag, you
show up and ball out.
You show up and let Dak try and throw it to CeeDee Lamb, and when the attention gets paid there, you got yourself free reign, man. You get the one-on-one coverage from Dak in an offense that's on tilt for the Dallas Cowboys as they're playing great defense.
Glorious.
He's going to make a ton of money.
We got Caleb Downs. I don't know if you knew that.
I'm aware of that.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
When it's time to scale your business, it's time for Shopify. Get everything you need to grow the way you want. Like, all the way. Stack more sales with the best converting checkout on the planet. Track your cha-chings from every channel, right in one spot. And turn real-time reporting into big-time opportunities. Take your business to a whole new level. Switch to Shopify. Start your free trial today